Good Friday morning, everybody. This is Senator Vicki Sawyer. I am without my trusty co-host, David Coble, but I think I have a little upgrade here. And I'll tell you why I say upgrade. The gentleman that you hear laughing is Mayor of Davidson, Town of Davidson, Rusty Knox. Rusty, welcome to the program.
Vicki, thank you so much for
having me. Thank you. Now, I'm not going to say upgrade as in personality or stature or anything over that. I'm going to say upgrade because I have known you longer than I have known my co-host, David Coble.
Yep.
And in fact, I like to tell the story about how I first met you. It's a long time ago, and I know it's hard for both of us to remember because, you know, we were much younger and thinner and handsomer back then.
I don't know, you're aging pretty well, so yeah, I know, but
I after college was a waitress and a bartender at a little restaurant that's now closed, that's down in Cornelius, and you at that time, and still are, a hotshot realtor, and you also have this affinity for music.
Yeah.
So you had your guitar, a mic, I believe.
Yep.
And you were singing, and I enjoyed it so much.
Oh, my gosh. That was so long ago.
So long ago.
And I still do it every weekend, so.
Where do you play on the weekends?
It's with the rigors of the mayor job and trying to balance that with still being a realtor after 30 years. I get about 2 gigs a month in now. So I'm actually I'm competing in Davidson tonight. I'm playing at Summit tonight from 7 to 9. While the Indigo Girls are playing at Davidson College to a sellout crowd.
Well, if I didn't have, I'm throwing out the first pitch tonight for the Cannonballers over in Kannapolis. If I wasn't doing that, I would come and support you. And I understand that it's a pretty tough competition, but I'm sure you have a loyal following.
Well, I still, you know, it's kind of my escape. I still write music. I collect guitars and I play 3 or 4 gigs a month. So
wow.
I still enjoy it.
Well, good. Well, if someone wants to see where you're playing, is it usually Summit or do you have just the normal spots that you go?
Just rustyknox.com. I've got my schedule on there and I keep it updated regularly. So I don't travel anymore.
Yeah.
I just kind of stay in this local corridor from Mooresville to Huntersville, and that's it.
So. Well, good. Well, I've enjoyed it. Hopefully, you guys will go to see rustyknox.com and go out and support him if you don't want to go to the Indigo Girls Davidson College.
Yeah.
Now, Knox, that last name Knox, if you've been around and lived around the Lake Norman area, you've probably run into a Knox if for our listening audience out there. But this is Knox family, you were telling me before, is one of the original land grant King Charles.
Oh yeah,
from England to here. And you had mentioned that actually I was reading at that when the town of Davidson was incorporated, there was actually a Knox who was on the town commission.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my family's roots go back very deep here. We came from Ireland, from County Down to Pennsylvania, to Lincoln County. And then in 1757, my family moved across the river to Mecklenburg County.
Okay.
So we've been here for a long time. And
1757.
Yeah. So
now, would that be Presbyterian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, there's so many cool touch points with my family. I've got I don't know how many greats it is, but one of my great grandfathers was killed in a battle. In the American Revolution, and he's buried in a communal grave in Lincolnton.
Wow.
And then one of my ancestors was Jane Knox, and she married James Latta.
Oh.
And part of her wedding dowry was where Latta Plantation is now.
Wow. And for those of you who listen who aren't familiar with Latta Plantation, it is in Mecklenburg County. It's now part of the Parks Department, but it still has a freestanding old school.
There's several structures that are still there that are still in existence. And you know, it's open again. It was closed for a number of years, but that's a great drive down there because you've got the Carolina Raptor Center there and equestrian facilities and several other things in that site. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
You are OG, as the kids would say.
Well, pretty much. And that's, you know, you talk about Knoxes. I mean, there's several different families around here because there's Knoxes and Troutman that I am related to in some manner, but not direct, from the boat. But there's, you know, my family has, in our tenure here, we've been community servants.
Right.
We've been elected officials. We've sold and developed real estate. We've been farmers. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was one of the folks that helped organize the Mecklenburg County Agricultural Extension Office.
Wow. That's amazing.
So it's you know, it's great heritage to have.
Yeah, it is. Now, go back, because I do want to talk in our next segment about the town of Davidson and its history and how that's interwoven through your life. But tell me more about you as a young chap growing up in Davidson. I mean, you were born and raised in Davidson, correct?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, actually, I was born in Joanna, South Carolina, while my dad was finishing college at Presbyterian after the Korean War.
Okay.
And when I was about a year old, we moved back to Davidson.
Okay. All right. So we'll give you a pass on not for being not from here.
I do have that birth certificate that does say South Carolina. So
it's okay. I think we'll give you a pass on that. But tell me, when you were growing up in Davidson, what kind of town was it? I mean, what was your childhood like?
There
in this
was
area?
Not a better place to grow up. It was 1,200 or 1,300 people. About a third of those were students. You knew everybody. You could leave your bike on the side of the road and it was there the next day. You didn't lock your house. We had Lefty Dressel as the basketball coach. He was larger than life. It was just it literally was a paradise. We just, you know, I think back on my childhood and the things that we did, and your parents never worried about you leaving the house because you had a whole town that looked after you. And if you did anything a little bit away from the rules, by the time you got home, your parents knew about it. So, and I was not a rule breaker. I tell everybody, I was of my three siblings and myself, was the one that either never got in trouble or never got caught.
Oh, I want to say the not caught part. Is that what you think?
Pretty much.
Well, so your father graduated from a Presbyterian college, but you yourself also graduated from a Methodist college. Pfeiffer College.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just near Salisbury.
Right.
Correct. And so you graduated with a BA in health and PE in Parks and Recreation Management, double major.
Right.
Two of my favorite subjects.
Yeah.
I love it. You're married to a wonderful wife, Danielle. Five children, five grandchildren.
Right.
Wow.
We have this really cool blended family. Danielle's kids were 5 and 3 when we got married, so they've always been my kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's a diverse age because my oldest is 42.
Oh, wow.
We are a true blended family that is a family, and we all love each other, and you know, the grandkids keep us very busy, so it's a good thing.
It's good, especially since you've been serving as the town of mayor now for, gosh, how many years?
This is my fourth term. So
fourth term.
7 years in right now.
7 years in, and they still love you.
They do.
Oh, good. So, that's a great measurement.
They can't find anybody else that wants to devote this much time.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the town of Davidson, the College of Davidson, a little bit of history, and then how you're working to preserve that, but also move it forward. Thank you for listening to We're Just Saying with Senator Vicki Sawyer and Mayor Rusty Knox. We'll be right back after the break.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicki Sawyer after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying with Mayor Rusty Knox and your dutiful, faithful, and hardworking Senator Vicki Sawyer. I mean, if I don't say it, who else will, Rusty?
I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and say it myself because with redistricting, Vicki is now my state senator in Davidson, and I'm happy to have her representing us in Raleigh. As she alluded to earlier, we have known each other for many, many, many years, but it's great to have somebody that has boots on the ground in Raleigh that is so well established here and looks after her community so well. So I thank you for everything that
you're
do
kind.
For us.
I have to tell you a little secret. when they redrew the lines and I got the town of Davidson, you are my like saving grace because I was worried. I know that the town of Davidson has a great, beautiful, amazing top college. They also have very intelligent people who do not like Republicans. And so I was like, Rusty, they're not going to like me. They're not going to like me.
You would be surprised. I think that the overall, when you look at how our community embraces political stature, yes, they're, you know, a lot of times we're viewed as being a very liberal town, but I think we're being a very educated town. There are less lines carved in the sand than you would imagine. I mean, you know, I look at the assistance that we've gotten in Davidson from Raleigh in my tenure as mayor, and I've gotten as much money from Republicans as I have from Democrats for projects, for infrastructure needs and things like that. And the thing that people need to realize is all that money is green. It is not red or blue.
Right.
You know, I've not crossed paths with anybody that says, oh, gosh, we got a Republican representing us in the Senate. So.
Well, no, it's fine. I appreciate the opportunity to get to know the community better. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. And also, I'm a bit of a history buff. So let's go back to town of Davidson, because you really are in a unique situation. You grew up there. You love it. You're the mayor. It also is very, has steep historical value. And how do you maintain that historical value and balance the modern needs? And we're going to get into later in the show talking about the red line and transportation, right, some of your affordable housing initiatives, new planning. So some of those nitty gritty things that we're going to do. But to set the baseline for the town of Davidson, for our listeners who aren't around, it was founded after your family got there. Or not founded, but established college. And the Davidson College was established in 1837. In 1835, the Concord Presbyterian sought a site for a men's college, and a planter named William Lee Davidson sold them 469 acres. And as it came through, I pulled up, and I actually got a copy of the general statutes from the town of Davidson College was formed, and it was actually called the town of Davidson College first, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't called the town of Davidson until many years later.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that a little bit of trivia that a lot of people don't know. And as a child growing up, Chalmers Davidson, who was one of the descendants of William Lee Davidson, was still alive and living in Davidson. He had a house on Concord Road for a while, and then he lived in the historic Beaver Dam Plantation Home, which was built by, you know, his, I guess, grandfather, great-grandfather. Wow. So,
and something that, if you haven't driven downtown Davidson, describe the feel and the vibe of all those wonderful restaurants. And
It's, you know, that this is... Davidson is much more than Main Street. We have wonderful development that's gone on out at the interstate. We are starting to look at growth in the eastern part of town. The, you know, the geographic center of Davidson is not Main Street, but that's what draws people there, is just that postcard feeling of having the shops on one side of the road. We've got the large village green in front of the town library where we have our summer concert series. The Presbyterian Church being right there, the Methodist Church being right there, and then new development that's come into downtown has over time blended in where the Flatiron Building is at the fork in the road between South Street and Main Street. You know, that was Stowe's Exxon, and when Stowe's Exxon went away, it was a sad day for a lot of people, and it was sadder when they saw the schematics of what was going to be built there, but now it's just kind of part of downtown.
Yeah.
You know, change is not necessarily a bad thing, but there are certain things, and our Main Street is one that I fought for years ago before I ever thought about politics. The town had this downtown catalyst project that they were going to basically tear down the old town hall that was built in 91, that is our public safety building now. Put some buildings up, put a boutique hotel downtown, and about 250 apartments. And so I had a song on my first CD called Paradise Lost that was about the demise of Davidson. And so I started a Facebook group called Paradise Lost, and mm-hmm. I got the public engaged in coming to town board questioning this Catalyst project. And, you know, I, being a musician, I'm a black T-shirt guy, so I had a black T-shirt made that said Catalyst with the red circle and the slash through it.
Oh.
And I used to wear it to the board meetings all the time. And ultimately, the Catalyst project went away. And I did not defeat that. The people defeated that. They said, we don't want to ruin our downtown because it would have ruined the fabric of what makes Davidson so unique, and that's our working downtown. We have almost 300 small businesses in our town.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, we don't have the big box stores. Mm-hmm. We have Train, Ingersoll Rand, MSC Corporation, and as you alluded to mm-hmm. earlier, Davidson College. And those are the big four. Other than that, it's just mom and pop small businesses, and that's what makes the backbone of our town. So it's our historic district. Our ordinance does so many things to protect this, and people that have been there for generations and people that just moved there take ownership of it and take pride and are guardians of it. So it's a good thing.
It's one of the things that sets you guys apart. I know I've only lived in Mooresville since 1998. And at that time, I saw buildings falling down, right? And I feel like they have gotten rid of the old and put in the new. And some of it really lost that old town feeling. And Town of Davidson has done a great job of preserving the old but welcoming the new, I believe.
Well, I just think that the history of place is so important. I mean, you know, Charlotte is the king of tear it down and put chrome and glass up. And and that's where a lot of the Charlotte history, particularly if you're downtown, has disappeared. In spite of towers. I mean, you know, if you look at what the Blue Line has done in Charlotte for South Boulevard and North Tryon, you know, those were really economically depressed areas.
Right.
So all the apartments that have come in, all the retail shopping and restaurants that have come in, I think has been added a new vibrance to that corridor, or both corridors that were needed. You know, we've got a couple empty buildings on Main Street that we're working on right now where the Dr. Clark,
yes.
that did the gnomes,
owned
the stretch of buildings, and they've been vacant for decades.
Which he was pretty, like, world known for hand-making wooden gnomes, like the garden gnome.
Yes.
But these weren't ones that you'd want to put in your garden.
No.
You could, if you had a lot of money that you wanted to throw out the door.
Right.
But this was a downtown staple for a craftsman, a master craftsman for, gosh, years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful work.
Tommy was, he was a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was a great guy. I have a gnome named Rusty.
Okay.
That he made for me. When I was a senior in high school, I was remodeling his, at the time he was selling the gnomes out of his home on Gray Road, and we remodeled the downstairs of the home for a sales studio. So he would come downstairs every day and talk to me, and I didn't realize he was making mental notes, and at the end of the summer, he gave me this gnome.
How cool.
Named Rusty, and it was on snow skis because I used to ski. He was standing on top of a baseball because I was a baseball player. It had a Pfeiffer baseball jersey on with my number on the back of it.
How great.
And had a little matchbox Ford Mustang because I drove a Mustang back then.
How great.
So it was really unique to have a one-off. It's in a box somewhere. I've moved about
you
six
need,
times.
You
I'm,
need,
not, well, I'm not sure where it is, but I still have it.
So you're one of the realtors who do move. I know there's some folks who say realtors never move their houses, but you're one that has moved around.
I just moved in September. So.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Well, and then lastly, when we're talking about just the flavor and the love of Davidson, I mean, you guys have significant nationwide restaurants that have won James Beard Awards. I mean, there's amazing food downtown. What a great culture.
Well, you know, we've got 28 restaurants in Davidson, and we've got potentially two more that are getting ready to open up in the next year. So it's a good place to come to get a sandwich, to get an upscale meal, if you want to, you know, and brag on Mooresville, too, because there's some great food in Mooresville, too. I tell you, with Mill One opening up and everything else, it's been my favorite place up there is Eat a Bowl, and I can't wait for Tommy to open up again.
I know, Tommy. So, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, so what we're saying is if you don't have anything to do tonight or tomorrow night and you want to go down and have a beautiful postcard picture meal, you can do it at breakfast at the Soda Shop.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Soda Shop is what? It's one of the oldest restaurants, continuous operating restaurants, and it literally is what it sounds like, a soda shop.
Oh, yeah. I ate there as a child. I mean, it's been there for over 60 years for sure.
Yeah.
Pretty much carried on the same tradition. I mean, you know, the big thing is to go in and get an egg salad and a big O.
What's a big O?
A big O is it's basically sugar water with squeezed oranges. So it's
interesting.
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay. I'm gonna have to give it a try. Yeah. But then if you don't want that flair and you want some fine dining, I mean, you have so many choices there at night.
Kindred and Flatiron.
Yes.
And we've got Carburitos and so many other places that you can go to very easily. El Bosco right around the corner on Depot, which is a great Italian place.
Well, when we come back, we're gonna talk about how we balance that great feel and the Yes Line, or not the Yes Line, the red line. So thank you for listening to We're Just Saying. We're going to be right back with Mayor Rusty Knox. Thank you.
We'll return with more of NC Senator Vicki Sawyer and We're Just Saying after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying with Senator Vicki Sawyer and Mayor Rusty Knox. You can download the app if you want to listen to us at your convenience at WSICnews.com. Mayor, thank you so much for being here today.
This is fun.
I'm glad.
Yeah, this is fun.
It is fun. It's going to get more funner.
Good.
Is that funner?
More funner.
Well, for those who are transportation geeks like myself and now Mayor Knox was saying before the show that not necessarily what he got into this role to be, but he is right in the thick of it. I think you've been probably one of the biggest supporters of what we're going to call the red line, which is the portion of track that runs north to south from, I guess you should all go all the way to Statesville, but really the meat of it now goes from Center City of Charlotte north along I-77 up to Iredell County.
Right.
And so the thought has been since, 1998? When did this start?
I think 2000 or something like that was when we actually had a train that ceremonially went to Charlotte, and we didn't invite Norfolk Southern to that party. So that's part of the pinch from 20 years of discussion and millions of dollars of studies.
I never heard that story.
Tell
me the story.
Well, you know, the thing was is they had this passenger train car that we brought in, and it went to Charlotte. And, you know, I rode on it. Mayor Washam was on that train.
Yeah.
Several business folks and local folks were on that. But the idea was to have a commuter train that took you from the north end of the county into Charlotte every day to alleviate the traffic on 77. This was wonderful, but nobody ever asked Norfolk Southern, hey, can we put passengers on your freight line? And at that time, the answer was no, and the answer has been no for decades. And there's been a dynamic shift in interest in looking at either pure passenger or shared usage in this corridor from Norfolk Southern. And I think a lot of that is just in timing, changes of leadership, maybe 20 years of discussion. We've worn them down. I don't know. But I go to Charlotte for meetings. We were talking offline. I sit on four transportation boards.
Oh, wow.
And three of those four meet in Charlotte, and the other one meets in Mooresville. Mm-hmm. But I find myself driving to Charlotte, spending $15, $17, $22 in the toll lanes to get to meetings versus sitting in the parking lot where the general purpose lanes are. And we've got to find, it's a both and. There are alternate forms of transportation. I'm the vice chair of MTC, which is the Metropolitan Transportation Commission.
Okay.
That's CATS. So we do the buses, and we do the Blue Line and the Gold Line, Silver Line, and ultimately the Red Line will fall under that guys as well. And when you look at bus ridership for CATS, consistently every month, 50-plus percent of all the bus riders come from North Mecklenburg. So obviously our residents believe in public transportation. More people would ride, but you can't, for a lot of people, you can't get them past the stigma of a bus.
Right.
I don't view the rail as something unique and trivial. I view it as two things. Number one, it's an alternate method to go to and from work, to and from entertainment, to and from education. If you think about UNCC and Johnson C. Smith and Central Piedmont and Johnson and Wells. It's another way for people to go back and forth. Same thing with healthcare, with Novant and Atrium and the hospital systems. Corporately, with Lowe's being in their corporate headquarters being in Mooresville and their IT campus being at South End, it could be a direct pipeline for their employees back and forth as well. So that in and of itself, not even counting what kind of economic development can be brought to our area with this. So it's something that's needed. We can add more lanes to 77, and it's just going to make more cars on the road.
So I heard you, and I've heard this before, you know, we can look to our sister state of Texas because they also have a centralized transportation system that's managed out of their capital like ours is. And you can continue to build more roads, but you're just going to attract more traffic, right?
If you go to Houston and you got 10 lanes in and 10 lanes out, it's all cars. You go to Atlanta, the same thing. Look at LA. I mean, I'm using an extreme with LA.
Well, yeah.
But yes, and we are growing as a region by 300,000 people a year. So you can't pave your way out of this.
So I want to talk something a little bit about the nuances of the transportation landscape in Mecklenburg County. So you don't have to comment, but for me, you know, as I'm sitting in traffic, it just seems so easy. Like the answers are always so easy when you're sitting in traffic. Why don't they do this? Why can't they do that? But then you just admitted like you are on four transportation boards that deal with transportation in and around Mecklenburg County. And I know that you've been a proponent for, you know, actually regionalizing and talking about transportation as a more of a whole, not just about the city of Charlotte, but, you know, all counties, right?
Right.
Lincoln, Iredell, all, you know, Gaston, Union. How difficult is it to actually make all of those people who work in these silos on these transportation boards work together? I mean, it feels like for me, I hear different things from each and every one of those individual groups. I do see that there's some kind of synergy to try to work together, but then it always seems like it just comes back down to politics, like old school politics. So
it does.
And you're good about, I think, I would like for you to talk about that a little bit because I think you are one of the few people who can bridge the gap with all of that noise. So tell me about your experience with that.
Well, you know, if you look at the different boards I sit on, so CRTPO, which is the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization, deals with roads. Specifically and only roads. We do side paths, greenway funding, bike lanes, and things like that. But that's it. We don't do any type of rail of any kind. MTC is buses, STS, which are special needs transportation, and rail. Lake Norman Transportation deals specifically with our transportation needs and where we go in the future for Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, Mooresville, Troutman, Statesville, and Iredell County. And then Connect Beyond, which is another think tank transportation board that I'm on, is a regional reach. There are 12 counties, 72 municipalities potentially represented in this organization. So it really is where you're making the sausage. trying to get the ideas in front of legislators like yourself, and in Raleigh, to move that needle. Because you know, whereas I'm talking about, look what the red line can do to get people to and from educational needs. I've got Davidson College, which is one of the most outstanding universities in the country. I have parents, prospective parents with their prospective students or parents of attending students that fly to the sixth busiest airport in the world, Charlotte Douglas, and have to rent a car to come up here. And they come from areas where public transportation is established and it's the norm. So at Connect Beyond, you know, we talk about how to move students from the airport to Davidson. Well, we had a guy at the last meeting said, well, I want to know how to get students from the airport to Gardner Webb, which is in Boiling Springs. And that's just, you know, it's kind of mind-blowing to think that that, you know, that's the this group that we're talking about. That's how big the footprint is. And we have to look at it because it's DOT did a wonderful job at over-approving and underfunding projects years ago, and we are forever going to be digging out of that. The the monies that we receive from our fuel taxes over the years has been diminished because of more efficient cars and e-cars and things like that. And how we fund roads is problematic. So, you know, the answer is not more roads. The answer is more alternatives.
Yeah. And so I think the reason why we're seeing this now in the news, or, you know, I guess if you haven't been paying attention to it, next thing you know, you're like, oh, what? I thought the red line was dead. And now we're talking about the red line. And you alluded to that a little bit earlier. Norfolk Southern seems to have changed their attitude.
Yeah.
Remember, I call the railroads the overlords of transportation.
They are.
They are. They are. That is their way or no way, right?
Well, it's manifest destiny created that. We didn't.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. They are. So they finally are moving around a little bit on that. And then there is this push now, especially at the General Assembly, to allow the city of Charlotte, or actually this county of Mecklenburg, to institute a sales tax increase in order to help fund this public transportation, along with other things, right? I've long held said that unless my mayors are fully on board, I'm not going to do anything unless the council and the mayors and everybody's on board. But it seems like it's coming to a head right now. It seems like we got to do something before September.
You know, Charlotte's got a non-disclosure agreement signed with Norfolk Southern and their consultants and everything, and the discussions are lively.
Yeah.
And I think if we are closer than we've been in the last 20 years.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, maybe, for the first time. But we will be back after the break with more from Mayor of Town of Davidson, Rusty Knox, and myself, Senator Vicki Sawyer.
Stay with us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicki Sawyer after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now back to We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Well, welcome back to our last segment of We're Just Saying on WSIC. You can download the app at WSICnews.com. I'm here with friend, coworker, I guess we could say, or co-servant. I don't really call it a job. It's a service, right?
It's service.
It's just such a service. This is Mayor Rusty Knox with me. And in the last few minutes, I just wanted to highlight how cool the town of Davidson is, especially with the summertime. What you guys have got coming up. Like, you just told me tonight is April is for arts.
Right.
And you have a crawl.
So we've got a gallery crawl tonight.
Uh-huh.
We've got shuttles that'll be running to bring people in from town. We've got live music on Main Street. We've got live music at the college. Tomorrow morning, we've got our farmer's market that brings 1,200 to 1,500 people downtown every Saturday.
I have been to that. That farmer's market is impressive.
It's great.
It's so cool.
It's a great space. And that space the downtown gathering space, mm-hmm. we used about $1.5 million we got from Representative John Bradford to help remake that space and make it more workable for not just the farmers market, but for other events back there and for local residents to be able to utilize it and enjoy it more. We've got art on the green. There will be artisans set up on the green, mm-hmm. and everything from sculptors to painters to bead makers.
Yeah.
And that's from 10 to 6 tomorrow, I think. And
okay.
then from noon to 4 on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, and then Sunday, we kick off our summer concert series on the green with our concerts on the green.
Yeah.
And that's the Davison Jazz Ensemble. They kick it off every year.
Yeah.
Our music programs downtown have just really exploded. We have music every weekend in Davidson now.
Wow.
We have, and you'd have to go to the townofdavidson.org website to find this. But besides having our summer concert series on the green, we also have concerts at the Circles, which is out near the interstate, and we shut off a whole block between, I'm trying to think.
Is it right where the Harris Teeter?
Teeter
and all that
and,
stuff is,
and,
yeah.
Hop and Vine and everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We shut up that whole block, put up a portable stage, and we'll have 1,500 people pack that thing with chairs and everything else.
Yeah.
Then we have shows down on South Main Street where the Crazy Pig barbecue place is. We close that parking lot off for concerts on the second Saturday of every month.
Wow.
As well. So we have music all summer long, and it runs until October.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I saw that. So I think the end of October 12th is Gospel Fest, but then you have, you know, Beach, Variety, Radio Hits, Fleetwood Mac Tribute Band, and you got it all. And I think one thing that reminded me that about the town of Davidson, you said it earlier, and you're so right, it's not just downtown.
Right.
You actually have Lake Davidson, which is part of the Lake Norman community, which I'm so grateful because it kind of just seems like my district now really wraps up that Lake Norman community on this side. And I I'm so grateful for that, to have it. And then there is this thriving shopping area between the interstate and the town of Davidson, down proper Davidson proper, that there's so many wonderful finds and things to kind of see.
Well, and of course, we're still in uncharted waters, even though we've implemented, but we now have two social districts in Davidson, one being on Main Street and the other one being out at the Circles. And so, you know, you're able to go to an establishment and get an alcohol drink and take a traveler with you down the street if you want to.
Legally. There may be some who have been doing it.
Don't ask what's in my Yeti.
Yeah. You know?
It was just something that a lot of communities are doing, and we figured we'd try it and see if we could embrace
When we were passing that legislation, one of the things about for social districts, for those of you who are listening, social districts just means that each city now has the ability to define an area where it'd be an entertainment zone. And so if you have maybe more than one restaurant that serves alcohol, you can buy a drink in one, walk outside, and go to another. And I know that there was some consternation about that and some nervousness. In those areas where it's been passed, it seems like it's been really a great help, and folks have not been, especially in the town of Mooresville, I don't feel like we've had any kind of issues. But the one thing that I heard is that, well, you guys shut off from business owners. The towns will shut off and have these festivals, and people can bring in a beer truck, and you can serve beer, and they could walk around and listen to music and stuff. But the brick and mortar, who's there Monday through, you know, Sunday through Sunday and Saturday and all this other stuff, they couldn't do the same. So it's kind of like the idea of, if we're going to have a festival, then the brick and mortars and the food trucks can all kind of get into the same game. And that, to me, I was like, you know what? That was my aha moment. I mean, that's right. Because it is kind of unfairly selecting against those folks who own an establishment when others can just come in and take the money on the good days and leave not good.
And I think that you know, businesses differentiate themselves. Some participate, some partially participate, some don't participate. And I think that's... that was the nice thing about the way the legislation was written, was locals could make that decision. I mean, you wouldn't expect to have a mixed drink and walk into a daycare.
Right.
But, you know, to have a mixed drink and walk into an art gallery and they said that's fine.
Yeah.
Then that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So, But, you know, it also provides some there was uncertainty with people like Concerts on the Green, you know, when they're tailgating, if you will, because everybody brings food and sets out their tablecloths, and, you know, it's really become quite the event to see what kind of spreads people have for their foods and everything. But, you know, what about drinking on the green? And that's part of our social district, so you're able to do that, which is good. And it's not like a drunk fest. I mean, that's people hear this and they are alarmist and extremist. And, you know, if I'm at Kindred and I'm having a glass of wine, I'm not going to leave Kindred and walk somewhere else with my glass of wine. I'm going to finish my glass of wine, and I might go somewhere else. But for those people at those occasions, like the art crawl tonight, you're going to be able to do that legally, and that's important.
Yeah, it is nice. And I can see how folks who grew up around here, and me from Davidson County was a dry county. I mean, alcohol was taboo. I will say that without the influx of folks from other areas where it wasn't so taboo, I don't know that we'd have these type of things like social districts or anything else like that. But it is definitely, I guess I feel my age when we talk about this, because I remember when, you know, you were talked about if you came out of a bar on a Sunday afternoon, and now it seems like it's like, whatever.
You know? I get so many calls from people from Davidson County asking me to get the trash picked up.
Or do you really?
And I was like, no, I'm the mayor of Davidson, which is in Mecklenburg County. You need to talk to the mayor of Lexington. Or so I was like, I do come to Davidson County a lot. I love Lexington barbecue.
Yeah.
I'll take a two-hour lunch break to get barbecue sometimes. Yeah. But,
oh, good. So then you are helping settle a dispute then.
Okay.
I might get you in trouble. Lexington barbecue, it's not east, it's not west. It's Lexington, correct?
It's Lexington.
And it's so good.
It's good.
It's good. It's like the perfect marriage between Eastern and Western North Carolina barbecue.
It is. I lived in Fayetteville for several years, and I understand what Eastern barbecue is all about, and that is my favorite. And if I've got to deviate from that, Lexington barbecue is it.
Oh, good. Way to cover yourself there.
One of your friends in the Senate, I had a wonderful, Dan Blue.
Yes, sir.
Used to live in Robeson County, and when I found out he was from Robeson County, the first time I met him, we talked barbecue for 30 minutes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, the first written political event that was actually happened in, I believe, Wilson, North Carolina, was actually over barbecue.
Parker's.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, no, it was probably so. All right. Well, I'm from Davidson County. I love Lexington. I grew up in Lexington, so obviously I'm going to say Lexington barbecue is quite tasty, but
it's
the political thing is to say all barbecue is good, right? So you also have something coming up May 4th, Davidson Town Day.
Yes.
It's coming up because you guys are like celebrating something big, right? No?
No.
It's just the Town Day.
Yeah.
Because wait a minute, you have an anniversary coming up. That's what I was confusing. No.
May 20th?
No. I thought I did better show prep than this.
No. But May 4th Town Day is Town Day was started decades ago as a community service event where we cleaned up the sides of the streets, we cleaned up the banks of Lake Davidson and Lake Cornelius and things like that, and it's gotten away from that in some aspects, but it's grown into other things because we do community bike rides, we do community outreach programs to our assisted living facilities. We still do cleanups. Parks and Rec helps organize a lot of that stuff since we have two areas to launch kayaks in town with one at Parham Park and the other one at the reserve behind Davidson Day School.
Okay. I didn't even realize that.
So we
that's fantastic.
Kayaking on both Lake Cornelius and Lake Davidson are just wonderful.
And with that theme of Town Day, you just told me something that was really interesting for me. So you now have a sustainability director that works with the town.
Correct.
And if I'm walking downtown at the town of Davidson's and I see you guys usually have beautiful flowers everywhere.
Yeah.
The dirt in those flower pots are from where?
It comes from our composting project that we started a couple years ago. So, you know, we talk about recycling and sustainability. And when I first got elected mayor, I talked to the Student Government Association at Davidson College.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so what does the town do for sustainability? And I was like, well, I think we've got a hybrid truck. And I know we do recycling every other week, and that was it. And we've gone from that to we have a sustainability director. We started this composting thing 2 years ago. Uh-huh. Now, the fruits of our labor, we put the soil in all these planters from our composting project. So it's just so cool to see that people have engaged and embraced that and understand and appreciate what sustainability is all about.
Well, so if you want to go hear Mayor Rusty Knox play, go to rustyknox.com. If you want to see him work, go to the Town of Davidson's webpage and you'll see what he's got going on. I encourage you all to go out and enjoy Davidson. And thank you so much, Mayor, for being on the show
today.
Senator,
thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
It
I had a great time.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. You all have a wonderful weekend and go see Davidson.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.